we had skin fade haircuts before they were even popular. Why? Because dad made you get your hair cut the way he wanted it. And he skint that head so he wouldn't have to pay for them very often. And she would lean in and she would do this. She would do this every Sunday. She would say, this is the church and this is the steeple, and open the doors and see all the people. You see, grandma taught me on the pews. This is the church, all the people. Open the doors and see all the people, because there was an intrinsic reality that while the church, the edifice, was in fact a building, the reality was that the true church was made up of what? People, born again, blood-washed body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the church really is. That's what the Bible teaches us about church. You know, I get a little frustrated when I hear people say, we had church, man. You know, what is having church? We did church, but I'm telling you what, you missed it. We had some church. What is that? Because the reality is, we are not so to be so busy about trying to do church. We are to be busy about being church. In the book of Acts, it tells you that the power that the Holy Spirit wants to invade you with, envelop you with, empower you with, is power not to do, but power rather to do what? To be. And if you be, you will do, okay? It'll come naturally. That's why I can't understand why so many people take a vacation when the weather's not just good. Because you're called to be. You're called to press on. You're called to push forward, move ahead, find your place, get your seat, get excited about what God is doing, winter, spring, summer, fall, rainy, sunny, snowy, whatever. Get excited about what God is doing. I don't know about you, but I'm glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Come on, give him praise this morning in this house. I was glad when the worship team strikes up the music and reminds me that the God of heaven wants to live inside of my life and make decisions for me and chart my course and lead my path and lead me to the path everlasting life. That's exciting to me. It's exciting to me to watch this worship team just week after week after week grow and develop. You know, when you go through transition and change, it's never easy. But man, I see the fruit of their time together. I see the fruit of their labors where they come together week after week and serve together. I thank God for that, for what he's building and doing. And I believe there's coming a time when we will sing our own songs. Songs will come out of the participants on this team where we'll write our own music. And I believe the time is coming where some other churches will be singing our songs. Come on now. Why not? Why should we just sing what everybody knows? Because he's given us new songs. He gives us those gifts and those abilities. The Bible teaches us a lot about the church. So I want to take a few moments this morning and I want to look at the characteristics of what it was then and the challenge that we have to look at it now and see the vast difference. And I'm hopeful and I'm faith-filled that this word, his word, shall come forth in these coming weeks, no matter who's delivering it. I'm believing for a fresh wind of the Spirit. I concur with you, Pastor Travis, that it shouldn't be a revival, shouldn't be something where you set aside a certain amount of services and invite a flashy evangelist to come to town. You can have a spirit of revival in your house every week that goes by, January to December. If the people of God will get on fire for God, God will do something incredibly amazing in our lives and in our church. Amen. I'm believing for the fresh wind of the Spirit. I'm believing you get what you preach. I'm believing for revival. Not a series of meetings, but revival, renewal, regeneration, rebirthing of the message of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. This week I grabbed the trash bag, as we often do so many times in our house. Isn't it amazing how many times you have to take the trash out in a week? Because we live in such a throwaway world. And I was changing the tall kitchen bag. And sometimes I have to be told to do that, you know. I'm not going to kid you. Sometimes I'll hear my wife speak and she'll say, who pushed this thing down so tight? And I'm thinking now, that nobody live here but me and you, okay. So I get the message. So I stop what I'm doing and I get up and I grab a bag. I say, I got that. And she looks at me like, yeah, you got that. Okay, so I do better for the next week. Come on. Everybody needs a Holy Ghost to bring them under conviction, don't they? You didn't know you married one, did you? So I was changing this trash bag, and I'm leaning down over this tall kitchen canister here, and I take the bag, and I stretch it over the top, and man, it fits so tightly. I mean, it's almost like it's on the edge of almost ripping, but that thing fits so snug. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me while I was doing that, because I've been praying about the church, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, isn't that amazing? The designers of this bag have fit this bag perfectly to match the model of what it goes in. And I thought, God, wouldn't it be amazing if we fit so well what you designed in the church of the Bible? Come on. Come on, guys. Wouldn't that be amazing if we were just a tremendous match for what we see in the scriptures? Turn with me this morning to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm not going to bombard you with a pile of scriptures, just one today. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Just a text we'll engage in for a few minutes. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation. But you are a royal priesthood. But you are a holy nation. Come on, stay with me. But you are God's special possession. When I read the scriptures, I read it like that. Not just on and on and on. But you are. Every time I say that, but you are a holy nation. But you are God's special possession. Who's he talking to? He's talking to me. He's talking to you. He's talking to anyone who has come into that family of God and made Christ the Lord of your life and expressed salvation through his blood. He says, I've called you to be a holy nation. I'm telling you, you are my special possession, that you may do what? Declare the praises of him who did it for you. Did what? Called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The church is far greater than that of a building. Grandma was right. Open the doors and see all the people. The church is not just a building. It's a living organism. It's people. Open the doors and see all the people. The people are the church. Peter declares here that it is the collective gathering of the called out ones. This is where we get our word church. The called out ones. That original language, the word is ecclesia. That's why we talk about ecclesiastical meetings or it's the word that means the called out ones are gathered. The called out ones. The church. Peter says that we're called out of what? A life of darkness and called into something else. We're called into a life of the light of the gospel, the good news, the evangelion. We're called out of the darkness. We're called into the life of the light of the gospel. And that is a righteousness that is imputed unto us through Jesus Christ. We know we're not righteous. We know that we're not righteous. We know that we are not holy, but we are declared that through the shed blood of Jesus as we embrace Christianity and a life of serving him. We're people that collectively form a body that is described in this verse through the lips of the Apostle Peter in these ways. Number one, he said, you're a chosen generation. That simply means that we're a kindred group. We can. Come on, white person, look at your black neighbor and say, we can. Come on. Black person, look at your Hispanic neighbor and say, come on, man, we family. We're kin. We are kindred. It doesn't matter as you go through terra firma, as you go through the earth. It doesn't matter. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. We're all part of the family of God. We're a kindred group. We're a chosen generation. What makes that possible? It makes it possible because we've been adopted into the family of God through the shed blood of Christ. We've been grafted in. We're a shoot off the root. Come on. He redeemed us from the curse of sin and received us in by grace. Remember the video they showed you this morning when you first came in? The guy's in the building alone, but he said, hey, please invite me. You know what I want? I want what everybody wants. I just want to be in. I just want to be included. Every person on the earth wants the same thing. They want to feel like they're included, affirmed, appreciated, accepted, loved. That's what they want. That's what that crack addict wants that lives down the street from you. That's what that drug-addicted person wants, that you get frustrated with. They want to be in. It's demons that are controlling their lives right now, but they really want to be included. They really want to be a part. They want to be a part of a kindred group, every nation, tribe, tongue, and language. It's the church. We're not talking about a Baptist church like I grew up in. We're not talking about an Assemblies of God church like this one is associated with. We're not talking about a Methodist church or whatever you tag you may put on it. We're talking about the church, the called out ones universally all over the world. In fact, we've done a lot of harm, more harm than good, with our denominational tags. We really have. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of denominational tags that you can place on churches. You know why they get started? Because somebody gets frustrated, somebody gets agitated, somebody gets angry and breaks off from a group and calls himself something fresh and new. I love it when you can ride down the road and recognize church splits just by the name of the church. It's always got new on it or something like that, you know, new, fresh, but, you know, second. We got First Baptist, Second Baptist. Why? Where's the third and the fourth? You know, we got all these names. And that's not true in all cases. There's some new and some fresh and some seconds that didn't start out of that motive. But guess what? A lot of them did. They split and they went to a new place that you couldn't go if you were to stay with the old guys. And that's not God's will. I've never known a split to be God's will. I don't care what the situation. Well, that was, you just don't understand. They're blessed by God now. No, no. You know, they might be blessed by God's honor and his word, but God wants that healing to take place that caused the split to start with. You know, if you look at the history of our church, we had splits. Why do you have a higher ground church today? Why do you have a church of God down here on the hill? Because of splits. I could name a bunch of them. I know one church in this region that split and split and split and split again. They ought to just call it the split church. I'm not going to call the name of it, but I watched it in just 1 year, year and a half. This church just splits and goes down the road, and oh, they split again. Now you got one over here. And guess what? It brings negative criticisms on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a long ways from where we were in the beginning. We don't need church splits. We really don't. We should be able to handle the differences that we come upon, and guess what? You will come upon differences. Every church needs a good leader that can handle reproof and rebuke and correction and all these things and be a peacekeeper to the house of the Lord. There's a lot of things that happen in Carpenter Shop Church that never touch your ears. You know why? Because we love you. We love you, and we don't want the negative stuff to touch your ears and give some bait for somebody to chew on and make a big... How many of you ever ate a piece of meat that just got bigger the more you chewed on it? If we just gave you all the information, that's what would happen. So we're called to protect. Leaders protect. Leaders lead, but leaders protect. They protect their sheep from wolves, and wolves sometimes can just come in the form of a spirit. And that's what God's called us to do. Come on, give the Lord praise. You're a chosen generation. You're a chosen generation. A chosen kindred group of people. We have all of these groups on planet Earth today with all of these names. And sometimes I just look at the simplistic things that we started out with many, 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 many years ago. And I'm thinking, God, why couldn't we have just stayed there? One such example in the 8300s was a document called the Apostles' Creed. And you know what? If you pulled the doctrinal statement of our organization, there's 16 fundamental truths. And if you're going to be one of us, you got to sign your name to the fundamental truths. And if you go to the next church, they may have 18 fundamental truths. And they may have 25 fundamental truths in this church and 12 in this one. Or ours is simple. There's even one out there today called the Four Square Church. Only four principles. You know, trying to make it attractive, I guess. But if we really went back to the simplicity of the message of the Bible. Look at the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father, almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, buried, descended into hell, the third day rose again from the dead, ascended into the heavens, and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. That's one doctrinal statement. That's it. By the way, don't get upset. Catholic means the universal collective gathering of Christian believers. Okay? That's what the word means. A collective gathering of universally of believers. One doctrinal statement, the Apostles' Creed. And yet we go down through the course of time and we slice and dice and mix and turn and throw away and pick back up, and we come up with all of these rules and regulations for the church. When the scripture just plainly says, you know what you are? You're a chosen generation, chosen by God. What else are you? Peter also said, you're a royal priesthood. Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And the book of Hebrews teaches us that he entered once into the Holy of Holies, and his blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat, and he has established that we do not have to go through all the old line of old covenant priests, but that we have become a kingdom of priests. Think about it in the old covenant. Man, I was just there, you know, last year, be going again this year. I remember walking by the Pool of Bethesda. Pastor Joy and I were way, way down in the bottom of the Pool of Bethesda. And they were talking. And I said, well, really, you know, it's interesting that this is just steps away from the temple. And they said, oh, yeah, you know what the Pool of Bethesda was used for? It was washing sheep, okay? Because they would bring these lambs and these sheep, and they would walk them through the Pool of Bethesda and clean them up real good, and they just take a few steps up. And now they're headed for slaughter. The Pool of Bethesda. And I'm thinking about it. Man, isn't it wonderful that you don't have to stand in line with a lamb without blemish? That you can just, listen, you can be riding down the road and you can see a horrible accident about to happen to you. You can say, Jesus! And just that instant, you hit the Holy of Holies. Just the mention of his name. And you're in the Holy of Holies. But remember the nation of Israel, it was once a year. Once a year. The high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, because it could be that the children of God, the Israelites, had sinned, and the high priest would have the bells and the pomegranates on, and he would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would go make atonement for the sins of the nation. And now, you know, we have this glorious understanding that Jesus Christ entered one time when he said on the cross, "It is finished." And he entered into the Holy of Holies for us, and his blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat, and therefore we don't have to do anything but come boldly to the throne of grace, expecting to receive everything that we need. And he calls us not only to be children of his and followers here, but we are a priesthood of believers. That means that you can be the priest of your home. That means that you don't have to go down to the church and sit in front of the booth and tell the guy what you did wrong. You can just come before the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? You're a royal priesthood. Thirdly, he said, you're a holy nation. Again, we're a people called out of darkness. Can you remember sitting here this morning? Can you remember some darkness that God delivered you from? Come on. Can you remember some dark things that you used to do? Can you remember some dark situations that you found yourself in? But you know this morning, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that he called you out of a life of darkness into a marvelous light, a life of light. Just like the Israelites, we're called to live lives separate from other pagan nations. And they were to be the people of the book. In those days, it was the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They were to be people of the book. And now you and I are to be people of the book from Genesis to Revelation. Especially the new covenant. Why? Because there is a new covenant that was established by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you and I are a part of that holy nation. Does he want holiness out of our lives today? Yes, he does. He wants us to live righteous lives to the best of our ability. But can I tell you something? Holiness begins on the inside, not on the outside. You can dress it up, squirt perfume on it, make it look all the best you possibly can. But if you don't get it right on the inside, honey, holiness is not a part of your life. God wants holy lives. Why? Because we're a holy nation. We're a holy nation of people that have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. Then fourthly, he says, you know what you are? You're a treasured possession. You're a special possession. In the King James, it says you're peculiar people. I like that when I'm dealing with the knuckleheads. You're peculiar people. You're a holy people, but you're a peculiar people. You're a special possession. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were referred to as a special possession of God. God's chosen people. God has a special love for them and special blessings for them. And they are His treasure, His jewels, His portion, His inheritance. But He brought forth the Messiah out of these people. Jesus was one of them. And He brought forth the Messiah out of these people. And this Messiah shed His blood and therefore purchased our redemption, resulting in our now being God's special possession. You're not a Jew, but now you are. Why? Because you've been grafted in. You've been adopted. Okay? Listen, you never really understand adoption until it gets up close and personal. You never fully understand it. I have people to say to me before, well, I know you love that biological one just a little bit more, don't you? No, I don't. No, I don't. And if you've ever experienced adoption in your family, you understand thoroughly what I'm talking about. You love them equally the same. You love them to pieces. And guess what? That's the way God feels about you. Oh, I thought the Jews were His chosen people. He loves you just as much as He loves any Jew. Why? Because you are adopted into His family by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are that peculiar people. You are now declared that special possession. That's what you are. We're the church, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. We're the church. Peter, his earlier words of this epistle said this. He said in 1 Peter 2:4-5, he said, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to Him. Verse number 5, you also as living stones. Look at the analogy he's using here of a building. It's like brick and mortar, you know, stones and cement. He's using an analogy. He says, as you come to Him, that living stone, verse 5, you also, like living stones, what's happening to you? What's happening to you as a child of God at this juncture in your life? You are being built into a spiritual house. Can I just tell you something? You've not arrived. You say, oh, Pastor, man, you're one of them seasoned guys. You've been at it for 27 years at the same church. I've not arrived. You know what's happening in my life? I'm being built into something God has planned for me. God's always opening new chapters, new seasons in my life, new things that He wants to accomplish. Why? Because that's just the God that He is. He loves us, and He gives us tremendous divine opportunities to go further and further and further into His kingdom. We are the children of God. And we're like living stones. We're being built into the spiritual house to become what? A holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Peter, who later declared that we're the church, the called out ones, first calls us to a place of being living stones. What does that mean? You know, he's building the wall of his kingdom. I believe, and Scripture teaches us, that he's established this kingdom, as you read the whole of the New Testament, he's established this kingdom on the foundation of what? The apostles and the prophets. With Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone. And He gave gifts according to Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And I believe that He's taken the pastor and the teacher and the evangelist, and He's continued to build upon the foundation that He has. And He's keeping on building. He's building that spiritual house. That's what he's doing, and he's called you and I to be a lively stone, a living stone. What does that mean? That means that from time to time in your experience and in mine, that God will allow us as a living stone to be pulled out of the wall through
through a trial, through a temptation, through a hardship, through a difficulty, through a cancer, through a divorce, through a separation, through a mistrust, through whatever. And he'll pull us out of that wall and he will chip off all the rough edges. But he doesn't throw us away. He puts us back in the kingdom to be a better part of the spiritual house that he is building. God is in the business of building you. You're not built yet. Amen. I know some of y'all like that old song from the Commodores. She's a what? A brick house. You're not a brick house. And you're not mighty, mighty. And we won't use the rest of that line. Okay? You're being built. You're being built. You're in the process of being built. No matter if you first started at Carpenter Shop just 2 weeks ago, or if you're a pillar and been here 30 years, you're being built. Doesn't matter if God called you to preach 2 years ago or if you've been in it 36 years like I have. God's building you. You're not there yet. And guess what? You never will get there until you're in front of the church in a coffin and they say, don't he just look like you ought to say, come on, somebody. You're being built. You are being built. And why don't you enjoy being built? Why don't you enjoy the journey? Why don't you enjoy being pulled aside and having the rough places? You don't have to look at it like ups and downs, as the Lord has already said to us today. Ups and ups. God's taken you to a new place. Just because you're at a spot right now that seems to be a rest area or a side, a place where you've been pulled alongside, don't you stop looking forward. I've told you before, the rearview mirror is just small. Glance at it. Look at the great big windshield in front of you that always says you're going somewhere forward, not backwards. You're moving ahead. You're being built into the spiritual house that God's called you to be built into. And guess what? The journey can get tough. But don't let it kill you. Don't let it kill you. God's calling you to be built into this spiritual house. Sometimes I get very frustrated when I look at how people respond. You know, you come into a bump in the road. God's not called you to quit. You come into a bump in the road. I ain't going to church no more. No, that's not the answer. Listen, I have a reason enough every week of my life to just tell you I'm out of here. But that's not what God's called me to. I want to finish well. I want to hear him say one day, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear him say, man, you did a good job. I want to hear him say, well done with what I trusted you with. Amen? And then there's always that person that gets envious because, man, you know, I wish I had the chance that he does. No, you hadn't excelled where you are. That's why you ain't moving nowhere. If you can't excel where you are, don't expect to go two steps ahead. We get so busy complaining about the certain circumstances. And God can't trust you where you are. Why is he going to trust you with more? You got to come to the reality. You and I are living stones, and God is in the business of building us. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Old kid song, but so true. And guess what? He's still working on me. And he's still working on you. And the fact that you got breath in your body and you could get here today is a striking reality that he's not finished with you yet. We've got place for you. Prayer and intercession, nursery, kids ministry, whatever you want to do. We've got a place for you to serve. And grandma was right. She taught me to take advantage of every moment. This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the door and see what the church really is. It's about people. Greeting, serving, loving, giving, cleaning, doing anything you can for the glory of God. Why? Because God has called the church to be a spiritual house for this region. So get involved. Get involved. Get involved. Worship team, would you come back and help us here as we move to a close? Just remember, this is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors. And see all the people. The church is people. Let's allow God to have his way in our lives. so that the church now, somebody say now, will look more like the church then. And we're going to go in these next several weeks into a series of messages where we're going to talk about the early church. We're going to talk about the churches that Jesus Christ had to bring rebuke to in the book of Revelation. And we're going to see on this journey that God is working in our church. That God is working in the church. Amen? Because if we're going to do an effective job of reaching the community, of reaching the region that He has called us to reach, we're going to have to submit ourselves to His plan, posture ourselves to receive from Him. You know, I encourage you, get involved, man. Get involved in Bible study. Monday night, you can go to Beachwood at 6:30. Tuesday, Bible study here at the church. They've been having, women's been having Bible. Wednesday night, we have ministry opportunities right here at Carpenter Shop for all ages. There's several ways that you can connect. Get connected. Be connected to something, okay? Be connected to something that causes your faith to be more built, more advanced into the direction that God's called all of us to go forward. Would you stand and worship with this team? I'm going to ask if ministers that are here, would you come and just stand in the front here, just stand. Ministers that are here, just come and stand. There may be someone in these pews this morning that needs a healing in their body. There may be someone in these pews this morning that would say, you know what, man, I just need somebody to pray for me, that I'll just get that burst of spiritual energy and focus to move forward. I just need somebody to agree with me in prayer today. Come on, step out of your seat. This is the moment. This is the moment now to come and let somebody lay hands on you and agree with you. This is the moment to come and let God heal that body that needs healing. This is the moment to come that let Him give you a spiritual encounter. Maybe be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the moment right here. Step out of your seat and come as they prepare to worship God. Pastor Josh.
So we pour out our praise. wonderful day in the house of the Lord today. Aren't you glad that a little rain didn't hold you up? Yes, we didn't let the rain stop us this morning. We didn't let the news of bad weather stop us this morning. We pressed on and we came into the house of the Lord where we were ministered to today. God's has just blessed us with His presence this morning. There's been lots of things started in people's hearts and minds, and we're just going to give thanks for those things. Stay connected. Come Tuesday night to the women's Bible study if you're interested in that, and Wednesday night for Bible study in the midweek. Don't wait till next Sunday to get another refill. Don't wait till next Sunday to connect with the Christians in your life, with the family that we have here. Lord, we come to you and we thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. Lord, for your presence today that's just overwhelmed us. Lord, we thank you that we can come into a church body, be loved on by one another, be led into worship where we can just worship you in spirit and in truth, and we can just connect with you so mightily that we are that we feel the change not only in our emotions, in our physical body, but the healings, Lord, that you did during that worship time. We just thank you, Father, for the mind change, Lord, that took place then, for opening our hearts to hear your word. Go with us this week. Allow us, Lord, to be the church, not act like the church, but to be the church. Father, we thank you for the message today. We thank you, Lord, for the messages that are coming. And we ask, Lord, that you just continue, Father, to bless us. Be with Miss Audrey. Lord, in that hospital room today, let her feel your spirit overwhelming her. And just, Lord, touch that body miraculously. Lord, we know that in all things, you are in. You can do beyond our own imagination. You can take us places and bring us out in strength and in healing, Father. We ask healing over her body. And Father, for Pastor Paul, we ask, Lord, that you continue to strengthen his body, that you continue, Lord, to strengthen his mind, his being. Allow him, Lord, also to know that we here as a body are praying for him, supporting him through the challenges of his health. We ask, Father, that you would touch him. Be with Miss Bonnie. Allow her, Lord, to just feel your love. Encompass her, Lord, with resources. We give you praise and honor as we go out this week. Lord, let us invite that person that needs to be invited. Let us, Lord, speak to that person that needs to be spoken to about your love, about your understanding, and about the freedom that we receive in you. We give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.